Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, June 25th, 2024. It's the last week of June. June is history. July 1st is Monday. That is really hard to believe. This month just flew by, as did the first half of the year, actually. But this is the weekend where we have our family reunion up in Buena Vista, if you're a native, Buena Vista, if you pronounce it correctly. And it's where we're having my mom's memorial. So it's going to be a really special day on Saturday. My son, Jared, and Kristen, his wife, and my daughter, my granddaughter, Quinn, only Quinn, are flying in on Thursday. So when they're going to stay with me and we're going to go to the memorial together. And I think it's just going to be lovely. I really do. My family is fun and it's a chaotic day. That reunion is chaotic because it's like a million little bitty kids. I mean, little bitty kids under the age of five. So it should be a lot of fun. Gwen can go and, you know, if she's missing her little brother and sister, the babies, as she calls them, she'll have plenty to corral at the reunion, that's for sure. But this is actually the first reunion that they've been able to attend. And of course, they wouldn't miss it because it's important and special. But I'm really looking forward to it. And I think it will be very special. And I think it will be exactly what my mom would have wanted. The guest room is all finished and should be very comfortable. So I'm excited to have them. We'll have a good time. I mean, they're coming in Thursday and they leave next Tuesday. So that's a few days. And I'm sure during that time, they'll probably go do something and Quinn and I can have time to ourselves, which even when I was there and, you know, she'd come home after school, it wasn't really time. Quality time between us because she had her show to watch, right? So anyway, it'll be different. It'll be fun. And over the weekend from Thursday to next Tuesday, I'll work as much as I can while they're here, but family time will come first. And as I said, I'm looking forward to it very, very much. But I am very happy to be with you today. And thank you for listening. If you're listening live, please join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I invite your comments and questions about today's topic, and I will respond to them after the show. You can find me if you want a reading, because I can guarantee today I've got a ton of stuff I want to talk about, so there's no way I could do readings today. And they've kind of, there's been more to say. You know, more than I needed to talk about. And so I haven't had time for readings. But if you want a reading from me, I am on 12Listen every day, 12Listen.com, typically available mid-morning, mid to later morning, Pacific time, into the evening. If you happen to stop by and don't see me, or if I'm on another call, just put in a callback request or schedule a call. I'll be notified immediately via text, and I will respond as soon as I possibly can. And I always do my best to meet your schedule. On 12Listen.com, we also have reduced rates a few times a week. We typically celebrate Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays, and astrological events and holidays. So new moons, full moons, 12Day is our big special, the 12th of every month. And holidays, usually we celebrate, so with reduced rates on calls and chats. So if you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12Listen.com and sign up for 12 Promotions. My Here Comes the Sun Celebrate Summer 15-minute time-based session will be available throughout the summer, and you can find that on 12Listen.com. You know, summer is the season when things are growing. And this time-based session focuses on releasing limitations so that you can grow and shine your light brightly. It's important. They're all, you know, my time-based sessions, basically the work that I do is all about releasing what's in the way of your expression as the individualization of source. I mean, we have everything we need. And that's part of what I'm going to talk about in the teaching segment, but we are it. We are it. We are the individualization of source. That which lives you is God. So the only thing that prevents us from experiencing joy or freedom or abundance is us. What we believe, what we've kind of limiting beliefs, limiting ideas that we've loaded upon our cart that we're dragging with us. So when we release those, there's more space in our space for source to demonstrate, to shine through us. So that's kind of the purpose of not only this time-based session, but pretty much all the work I do. So anyway, it's a good session. Also, as always, I want to remind you of the gratitude board on 12listen.com. It's a great tool. You can post anonymously. Just post what you're grateful for. The 12listen advisors moderate that board, meaning we add our attention to your intention, which empowers it. So it's another way for us to support you. And because you can do it anonymously, why not? You just post what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or not. Let us help you. That's what we're here to do. Thank you for listening. However and whenever you do to 12 Radio, 12 Radio is a great way to stay inspired. You can find all of the archives from all of the shows and all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. So whenever you need it, you can grab a little dose of inspiration. I just want to say thanks to Jay for producing my show today. And also thanks to Jay because he's going to take my show next Tuesday. And that's always fun when Jay takes over my show so that I can take my kids, my family to the airport and say goodbye to them. So anyway, that's just, it'll be good. It's always good when Jay hosts my show. So let's shift into the teaching segment because, like I said, I've got a lot to talk about. By listening to a song by Zingaya called Sky Dancer. This is from Souls on Earth, the Souls on Earth CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it. It's a great piece of music. I'll be back right after. You are listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I am very happy that you're here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I really liked it. What I want to talk about today is about having a personal and individual relationship with Source. Source, God, the universe, the Tao, Supreme Being, all different names for the God of your heart, however that looks to you. Because again, individual is the key word there. No duplicates, right? No duplicates in this universe at all. And I'm going to share from a lot of different teachers that all basically say the same thing, because truth is truth. And to quote Neville, God is known by experience or not at all. So I want to start with John Randolph Price from his book, Empowerment. This book was a major player for me. Price was, but this book, because it covers a ton of stuff. And for some reason, I was looking for something, and then it just kind of opened itself up to me for me again. So it's fun to share from this book. Again, it's called Empowerment, easy to remember. John Randolph Price. He says, "Truth is infinite and absolute in the mind of God, but each individual has access only to his or her understanding of the truth as it unfolds in consciousness. Thus, there is no final wisdom teaching. Even masters of the hierarchy say they are still evolving, quote, into the great unknown, quote. My point? Do not limit the unfolding of your consciousness of truth by focusing exclusively on a single teaching. Do not freeze your mind by refusing to at least entertain new ideas and concepts, even if at first they're beyond the present level of understanding. As you broaden your horizons, do not be deceived into believing that you are going beyond the ideas that brought you where you are on the spiritual path. You cannot go beyond basic and traditional ancient wisdom or new thought teaching. You can only move horizontally. You can proceed laterally along the line, exploring a vast variety of teachings from Blavatsky, Bailey, Quimby, Fillmore, Holmes, Goldsmith, Fox, Yogananda, Casey, A Course in Miracles, Quartus, or any other author or organization. And this search for understanding of another's truth is vitally important in the awakening of your consciousness. But you can advance vertically only by embodying in consciousness that which is received from within you. It is only when you move into the realm of self, capital S, that you truly begin to climb that highest mountain." John Randolph Price, Empowerment. Pardon me. As he said, truth is infinite and absolute in the mind of God, but each individual has access only to his or her understanding of the truth as it unfolds for each of us individually. And truth unfolds in consciousness in direct proportion to the time we spend with the infinite self, developing our own unique relationship with it, developing our spiritual language with it. We can gain understanding, and we do, from the teachings of others. But think of teachers as way showers, not the end all, you know? And we find those, and we don't find those, you know, that we attract to ourselves what we need, because what lives us is God. So again, it's the best actor in the world, namely God, and best audience, namely God. So it's that circle of what we need shows up for us, or God meets us where we are all the time. So, you know, teachers come into our experience, you know, the ones that we resonate with inspire us, and they fire our curiosity. But we take it from there. We have to take it from there. And you know, Realization comes from having our own experience and receiving our own information directly from spirit, from infinite self. And it's important to have an open mind, to give yourself permission to have what comes in. I mean, to just have it in whatever way it comes, because it may be nothing like anyone else's experience that you've heard of or read about. So don't limit yourself. Don't limit anything. Each of us is the individualization of sorts. There are no duplicates. There never has been or ever will be anyone like you, ever. So you have already an individual relationship and communication with Source. It's easy to compare your experience with what you've read or heard, but don't. And I think that's especially easy when you're in a class situation to compare. But again, don't. Just detach yourself from having to do that. Because I know it's, you know, when you're growing and you just, on the spiritual path, you just want to be miles ahead of where you are. I don't think I'm only talking about me. But where we are is where we are. And that's not a mistake. And we're not behind. And we're not slow. We are exactly where we are. Because again, God, we know God by experience. And that is a process. You know, it's a nurturing of that relationship. And God always meets us where we are in our unique evolution. Now, we can experiment and try different methods of meditation or prayer, you know, or using a statement of truth or a scripture to get us into the atmosphere of God, as Joel would say. And that works brilliantly. Or we can simply get quiet and listen with our physical ears to the sounds around us, and then listen with your inner ear. But the thing is, communication from Source, from Spirit, can come in different ways. Unlimited ways, really. Because again, we're all different, and we all resonate to different things. And we all have things like our own inner red or green light, you know, our own inner yes or no, or our intuition, you know, it's beyond intuition. I don't have a word for it. I don't have a word for it. It's like when you know, when all of a sudden, you know, you're just not on the right track, you know, you got to shift gears. That is a knowing that I feel through my body. And how we experience, you know, God is known by experience, but how we have that experience is completely individual. And that's what I'm encouraging here, is to have that as your own, and not judge it for anything other than an experience of Source. So, you know, it can come that, as I said, communication can come in any way, different ways, words, colors, pictures, feelings, or just a sense of peace. So be available to anything. And most of all, don't negate anything. The more you practice the presence, the more you get, and the more you develop your language, your spiritual language, so to speak. And the more you know when you've made contact. You know, not, was that it? That felt good. Was that it? Yeah, probably was if it felt good. So the more you just let it be, you know, I can have that. Whatever that was, I can have it because it felt right to me. So, you know, the other thing is that you never know what might happen or what you might be given. And it's a very good idea to keep it to yourself, because many times it's just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. You know, you get one little thing that lights you up, and the more you work with it, the more you chew on it, so to speak, in meditation or prayer or think about it or journal about it or however, whatever your method is for processing, the more you do, the more it expands in your experience. You know, the next time you go into meditation, you can think about it again. You know, you can start with that and just let it, that's called contemplative meditation. You just contemplate a truth or something that you've been given. And then through that contemplation, more is added. More is added to it. So it will expand in your experience. But the thing is, again, and I know I've just said it, this is an individual thing, very individual. And when you really have that, you stop judging it and you stop thinking, oh, it should be different or it should be better or it should be this. It shouldn't be anything other than what it is when you are in that space. So I remember, and I wrote about this in the Power Peak, but it was so in my head. It really actually inspired this talk and my article. But I remember when I was a student at ICI going through a guided meditation, and that's Interconnection Institute, the psychic institute that I attended here in Denver. We went upward through the crown chakra to the chakras that are above it. Now we deal, and I deal in what I teach and what I just every day do with the seven chakras, beginning crown down to first. But there is a philosophy that there are four more, that there are actually 12 chakras, and they go above your head. And you can Google it and find out what they are, but each one of them just takes you further and further to into spirit and out of body. So I remember going through this meditation one night, and I don't remember much of the path, you know, the guidance, but I remember distinctly. Well, the purpose of the meditation was to experience the Supreme Being. I don't think I said that. And I don't remember much of how, what the route was to get up there, the path was, but I remember like it is right now, distinctly, my experience of the Supreme Being, the God of my heart. He was big and joyful, and he was dressed like a harlequin, you know, in this big black and white checkered satin suit, clown suit. And he was just delightful. I think he had a red hat, but I can't remember. I don't remember the hat. I remember the suit because I remember how the suit felt when he put his arms around me. But he was so delightful. And all I felt was, first of all, surprise and amazement. Didn't expect the Supreme Being to show up like that. But what I felt was absolute love and playfulness. And I felt like a little girl. He put me on his lap. He held me tight. He put his arms around me and he kissed me on the forehead. And I don't remember any words being exchanged at all. I just remember that. And like I said, I remember it like it's happening right now. And I won't ever forget it because that experience established the Supreme Being for me as my loving Father, the Lord of love, the Lord of light. And that's been my experience and my connection ever since. It's that feeling of being just hugged and held tight by Source. And although I'll never forget that experience, the thing that triggered my memory of it was something that Alan Watts said in an audiobook I was listening to called Four Ways to Center. He said, "You are the Supreme Self playing it isn't." You are the Supreme Self playing it isn't. Which falls in with the cosmic drama that I talked about a couple weeks ago. That just, again, every time I think about it, it just delights me. It lights me up. It's so playful, really. I love the idea of God, Brahman, Source, playing at being each of us, and each of us playing the role that we are not God. The Supreme Being showing up for me dressed in a clown suit was a demonstration of absolute love for me, but also a great sense of humor and playfulness. I mean, really, you know, and to have that come in and that realization come to me after all those years. I mean, that was 2006 when I was at the Institute. It took until me hearing Alan Watts and becoming familiar with the cosmic drama that showed up. And that was a lovely little hello from Spirit. But at the Institute, we were taught that Spirit speaks through imagination and play. And I know that from experience. I know it. And when we were doing our clairvoyant work, it was important to be in an attitude of childlikeness, because then we leave our seriousness behind, right? We leave limitation, restriction behind. Like when we were in kindergarten and drew purple trees and green dogs and had no limits to our creativity and imagination. That is the Supreme Being, the Supreme Self. No limits, no limits. That is also where surrender takes us, right? In order to be in that space of childlikeness, you have to surrender your seriousness. You have to kind of step out of that and restriction and limitation to be in your imagination. And surrender takes us to the place of no limits and to the loving arms of the Father. I have a lovely greeting card that I bought years ago sitting in my office. On the front is a copy of an old photograph called The Sweeper by Alfred Stieglitz, is the photographer's name. And it's got to be taken around like the turn of the century, the turn of the 20th century. And it's a black and white image of a street sweeper in the city working in the fog. And to me, it's a very moving image. But on the inside of the card is a quote from Walt Whitman that says, "From this hour, I ordain myself loosed of limits and imaginary lines." It's a very powerful statement, because when we are free of limits and restrictions, we are in uncharted waters. And in those uncharted waters, we have to trust the Supreme Self. That's it. I mean, we're just there waiting to see what comes up, waiting to hear, waiting for contact. But if we persist, if we go back over and over and over, it becomes the place that we just can't stay away from. You know, you want more, you want more. In returning, one of my favorite verses, in returning and rest is my salvation. In quietness and confidence is my strength. You know, in returning to the secret place of the Most High, the golden cathedral of the heart, resting in the arms of my Father, the Lord of love, the Lord of light is my salvation. In quietness and confidence is my strength. And you just sit there. You just sit there and enjoy. John Randolph Price said, to take this in a little different, not a different direction, but to expand our direction a little bit. Pardon me. He wrote, "In the omnipresent supreme mind we call God, and which is individualized as our divine consciousness, are the archetypes of everything that exists in the phenomenal world. Archetype means the original pattern from which all other things of the same kind are made. This gives us the starting point for changing energy into all manner of forms and experiences. Gradually, over the years, I began to understand the archetype principle, that in my divine consciousness, there is only one employer, one home, one car, one supply, one healing, healer, health, one book, one relationship, one organization, etc. Let's phrase it in this way. The original patterns, the only one of anything, are in the form of pure thought energy impressed in the mind of God, in the mind of the God self within. And they work through your recognition and acknowledgement. As the energy of a particular pattern radiates through consciousness, consciousness will translate it into form and experience in direct accordance with what you can accept on the physical plane. The fewer inhibitions in consciousness, the greater and grander the manifestations. Whatever we desire, we already have, or we could not have desired it. So those fewer inhibitions in consciousness and what we can accept are empowered through surrender. Just throwing that in. Neville put it this way. Man's eternal journey is for one purpose, to reveal the Father. He comes to make visible his Father. And his Father is made visible in all the lovely things of this world. All the things that are lovely, that are of good report, ride these things and have no time for the unlovely in this world, regardless of what it is. That which you seek is already housed within you. Were it not now within you, eternity could not evolve it. No time stretch would be long enough to evolve what is not potentially involved in you. You simply let it into being by assuming that it's already visible in your world and remaining faithful to your assumption. It will harden into fact. Your Father has unnumbered ways of revealing your assumption. Fix this in your mind and always remember, an assumption, though false, if sustained, will harden into fact. You and your Father are one. And your Father is everything that was, is, and will be. Therefore, that which you seek, you already are. It can never be so far off as even to be near, for nearness implies separation. What you now desire, you already have, and you seek it only because you've already found it. You found it in the form of desire. It is just as real in the form of desire as it is going to be in your bodily organs. You are already that which you seek. You have no one but self to change in order to express it. And that, you know, that brings me back to what I talked about a while ago. Every desire that we have, who do you think gives us that desire? You know, we don't dream those up. We can't. We can't. Those are dreamed up by, not even dreamed up, but by the infinite self that just wants to experience and play in this incarnation, you know, as us, to become more, to unfold, to create, the only actor, the only creator, the only enjoyer, who only wants to become more, only wants to expand and express in our life. So every good desire we have is given us by that infinite self, wanting to demonstrate itself, more of itself, in, through, and as us. And, you know, that is a big, important point, that every good desire is God desiring to be more through us, through, in, and as us. That's really a good thing to tuck back in your consciousness, because that way it's like, because I think we can, speaking personally, we can still get be in that place of thinking, well, that's, if I want that, that's selfish. I should only want this. These are the rules of being on the spiritual path. I should only want this. No. Does it feel good? Is it something that, it's like Abraham says, we only want what we want because we think it'll make us happy. Right. But the thing is, too, what he's saying is in that oneness with the Father, with God, with Source, in that oneness, the desires that manifest in the physical are the added things. That oneness, that nurturing of that relationship, that going back over and over and over to just experience Source. That's what we nurture. That's what we focus on. And then, the desire that comes up, it's like, okay, I don't know how to do that. So I turn it back over to you who gave it to me, to you, the infinite mind, who gave it to me. And I'm really going to enjoy watching you demonstrate it, or manifest it. I mean, really, it's a circle. It's a circle, absolute circle. But what he said in that first paragraph is very important, the opening paragraph of that statement. Man's eternal journey is for one purpose, to reveal the Father. He comes to make the Father visible. And his Father is made visible in all the lovely things, all the things that are lovely, that are of good report. Ride these things and have no time for the unlovely in this world, regardless of what it is. That's important. That's important. Abraham said, anything you do to overcome or prevent causes a spotlight on the very thing you're wanting to overcome and prevent. You cannot take enough action to compensate for the energy that you're flowing in wanting to overcome or prevent. This is from Joel, from an audio of Joel's. It's not verbatim, but he said, and here's another just really lovely kind of offering, of what to do in meditation to get to the place where you can have your own experience, or to kind of get you into, quote unquote, that atmosphere of God. And that's what all of these are for, just stuff that we can take and use, but not mistake the fact that we have to have our own experience. We have to do it on our own. Our relationship is sacrosanct, belongs to no one else but us and God. Jill said, whether you're experiencing something negative or you're trying to help someone else through prayer or healing, do not give your attention to what appears to be wrong. Do not take it into your consciousness. Instead, get quiet, get centered, and ask a very simple question. In this situation, what is God? In this situation, what is God? If you sit with that, you'll get answers. God is peace, strength, health, love, abundance, vitality, certainty, clarity, wisdom, ease, harmony, etc. There is a word or feeling for what God is that is the opposite of any negative experience. And it is within you. That which I seek, I already am. When you get that word or feeling of what God is, focus completely on it. Allow it to take over your feelings. Let it expand. More words may come. If you're praying for someone else, you still do this for yourself. You experience it for them. We are all one. And when you have that word or feeling, you're having it for them. And you sit in that wonderful space until you feel the shift. And it may take more than one time, but when you feel the shift, it is done. Well, that's a really cool and interesting space, because what you're doing is you're acknowledging the truth. What is God in this? I love that. That's so open and accepting, and being in that listening space, that space of waiting for an answer, you know, waiting for that communication. And again, that feeling, you know, communication from source can just simply be that feeling of peace that takes over, that just takes over, you know, and through that experience of waiting and listening, you've allowed source to flow through you to affect change. And things have changed, no matter how they appear in the outer world. And you know it because you've experienced the shift. As within, so without. The without has to follow. The without has to follow. My conscious oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being, idea, and thing. All. Therefore, you know, when we begin, when we're trying to help ourselves, or when we're trying to help someone else, or when we're trying to be, let me put it this way, when we are, our purpose is to be the instrument, the clear instrument of the Father's appearing as supply, what is needed, when is needed, as it's needed, by all that we encounter, by everyone. And if there is, you know, whether we're meditating or praying for ourselves or for anyone else, the first place that I start is God in the midst of me is mighty, mighty. And God in the midst of every other man, woman, and child on this planet is mighty. That's huge. That's huge. Well, it's recognition. You start with that recognition. Not of someone, again, not of someone who needs something. That person is sick. Not that there's a deficit there, but there's allness there that's just not being recognized. You know, as Joel said, anyone that comes to you for help, anyone that comes to you for healing, is coming so that you recognize the Christ in them, because they cannot recognize it for themselves. I exalt God in the midst of you. I exalt God in the midst of me. That is a powerful, powerful statement. And that is the truth for every single human being on this planet. No matter what they look, no matter what the state of consciousness is, no matter how you feel about them, ego-wise, you know, the truth is, I exalt God in the midst of you, because the truth of every human being is that they are the individualization of source. That's truth, right? That is a statement of truth. And when you do that, when you exalt God in another person and in yourself, it brings that forward in them and it brings it forward in you. And again, my conscious oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being, idea, and thing. So therefore, you work with that word, or, you know, what is God in this situation, until you have the release, until you have the feeling of it is done. You know, not just making that statement, but you really have that feeling. Okay. It's done. The other day, in fact, 2 days ago, was it? Sunday, I guess it was Sunday. You know, sometimes you wake up and you're just not very sharp. That's the best way I can say it. I just had kind of like a heavy head. And I meditated. You know, I meditated. I got my space. I did my setup, meditation, grounding, and that kind of thing. And then I just sat and got quiet and had my statements of truth and just sat with my father. And it's like, okay, I need to now it's time for to go get signed on to do calls. And when I got up to go and sign on, I was totally different. I mean, it was like night and day. I felt sharp. Everything, it was like one of those things of, I got in that flow of whatever's in front of me to do, I could do. I even polished my silverware. And it was like, okay, that's good. That's good. What's the next thing? What's the next thing? And I was just jamming, which was totally and completely opposite from the way I woke up. And, what I was looking to get rid of, it got, and I just thanked God kind of through the day for that magnificent healing because there was no doubt about it. My space was different. So, through that experience, I allowed source to flow through me to affect that change, that experience of just being there. And it was terrific. It was terrific. And that shift that we feel, like, ah, oh, it's done. It's like an exhale, a release. It's a wonderful feeling. That's the peace that passes understanding. And that peace is the spiritual substance that demonstrates as supply, that demonstrates as what we sat down for, the help that we need. And that too is surrender. Because, for ourselves, for any other person, we don't know what perfection is. We don't know what we need. We don't know what anybody else needs, no matter what they say to you, no matter what they're asking for, right? So that's the other beautiful thing of what is in this situation. You let go of what the problem seems to be. You drop it. You drop it. Joel says when someone asks for help, he says, I reject what they're asking for. And he goes, I drop it. I drop that and I drop their name. I just go into my space of oneness. My space of oneness. God in the midst of me is mighty. God in the midst of this person, every person is mighty. And it's that, as I said, is surrender. And as John Randolph Price said, the archetypes of perfection are in the divine mind. And the fewer inhibitions we have in consciousness, the greater and greater the manifestations. So, as we surrender our limitation, we allow the divine mind free rein, and wonderful things happen. And that's fantastic. And that's what I had to share with you today. And I hope you find it valuable. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. And we are changing the way that we relate to the world because our world is us pushed outward. We are master and commander. And there is no one to change but ourselves, as Neville said. I hope you stay tuned for Katie Weaver. I wish you a very, very blessed week. And remember, Jay's taking my show next week, so I will talk to you in 2 weeks. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.